Welcome to the Hard Water Fishing Show. Jeff and Jason talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are live and alive. We're not really live, but we're alive. Hard Water Show, you have to go back a bunch of episodes to figure out why we do it that way. But it is season three, episode three. It's the fourth week of November 2019, shortly before one of my favorite holidays, Thanksgiving, where we give thanks and we eat till we sit on the couch and gently nod off to sleep while watching a football game, usually. And then we go.
You need to watch football. It's required to watch football.
I do.
At least at my house.
It's one of the few times of the year I actually do watch some football, but then I also go ice fishing. No, I'm kidding. I don't get to go ice fishing this year. There's no ice. No,
we discussed that.
There's no ice.
We discussed that.
We'll move on. I'm blowing the intro, right? Because we're. Anyway, moving forward. No, I usually go pheasant hunting. But anyway, go on. You can find our podcast anywhere podcasts are, including Spotify and iTunes. We're active on social media, including Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at hardwatershow@gmail.com. We have a website, hardwatershow.com. We read everything we're sent, even if we don't talk about it. Usually we talk about it. So
we do.
Feel free to send us stuff. We'll give you a mention on the show if your stuff's noteworthy, and most of it is because you guys are all awesome. We have had over 23,000 downloads of our podcast, which is phenomenal. We appreciate all the support. We have listeners, Jeff, in all but one state.
Which state is that, Jeff?
Can you guess?
Minnesota?
No, we got most of our listeners come from the upper Midwest. But okay. We do have one state that I would guess has no possibility of ever ice fishing, and nobody has listened to our show there. At least downloaded it from there.
Right. Maybe the internet doesn't get all the way over the ocean.
I feel like they've got internet there. Hawaii okay. Is the state. So maybe what we need to do, Jeff, is we can figure out with the tax man, maybe we need to go to Hawaii to promote our podcast for ice fishing. That wouldn't get flagged at all by the bean counters there at the IRS. Not at all.
Do you think that is our probably not our target market, I suppose, our huge marketing budget of what
zero, whatever our wives don't notice.
Something in that range. Yeah, whatever our wives don't notice, exactly. What's this charge on my credit card? Don't worry about it. It's just the podcast.
Yeah, it's medicinal. Yeah, so
I need to buy this for the podcast. I need to buy this gear for the podcast. Yeah. We have to have
yep.
it.
Yep, and we've also had over 37 countries have downloaded our podcast, people in all over the world. So we are, you know, I wouldn't say we're famous, but according to the metrics on our podcast, we're everywhere. We're everywhere you want to be.
Wow, we're like some 80s credit card commercial or something.
Yeah, we might get a cease and desist letter on that.
Yeah, maybe.
So, Jeff, what are you drinking tonight? Because I've read it. I got it in front of me on our script tonight, or what we're following. But I'd have no idea what this is. Is this a cough drop or what is this? Tell me what you're drinking.
This is a special treat, Jason. Mango Cart Golden Road Brewing Mango Wheat Ale. So this is actually really good. One of my neighbors, I think, left it in my fridge. I don't think I actually bought this, but they really like it, so it's fun when people come to my house and just leave me beer. But this is a series inspired by the iconic fruit cart vendors of Los Angeles. So it has palm trees.
Fruit and cart vendors of Los Angeles. Okay.
I have a beer inspired by fruit cart vendors. So I'm going to open it up. It's a can, so it should sound pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it will. I can smell the mango from here.
It's really good, actually. Holy cow. I've never had this beer before.
Well, okay. So you have to bring it to Hardwater up to our trip this year. We'll all know whose it is.
I will.
So I'm yeah. I'm drinking a beer, and it's not old style. I apologize.
You're kidding me. Not old style?
Well, because I too am a opportunistic beer drinker. And so following Grouse Camp, some beer followed me home. And the mountain is blue, So it's Coors Light. So I will open this. I don't know who bought this, but it went home with me.
I did.
Sweet.
I bought that
Thanks
beer.
For that beer, Jeff. It came home in my car, so I've been drinking it. Here it is.
Ooh, that liquor store that we went to that was in downtown Duluth?
Yes. Yeah, that was the one where I made my, I'm like, looked at my little nephew and said, I think we're going to sit in the car. We're going to sit this one out.
The parking lot was like tiny and, it was, you know, it was, made that, yeah. your brother's truck look huge.
Yeah, it was an interesting liqueur store. So anyway, I think we got a great show. So fishing report. Did you go fishing?
I have not been fishing since our last podcast. I have been on the shores of lakes, but I have not been fishing.
And
have you been fishing?
No. We started to get some skim ice during that last kind of hard freeze we had. And then now it was almost 50 some degrees today. So any hope of ice quickly left, and people are bringing the boats back out down here again. So. But, you know, that's not unnormal for this time of year. We're probably right on schedule, if anything, a little ahead of schedule on water temp. So,
you know, I was up in Mille Lacs today. I was up there and it was like 32, 33 degrees. And I got halfway home and it's only like an hour and a half, right? It was 42 degrees. So there was a huge difference in the temperature just from like that.
Yeah. So, and our good buddy Dave sent us a little video with him and his drill.
That was awesome. It's on the Facebook page. So a unique way to measure the depth of your ice.
Dave is unique. And so it would not surprise me he would have a unique way to measure ice depth. But it certainly is quick and lightweight, you know.
He told me that now that he's famous, that we would have to start paying for his autograph.
Do you ever foresee a situation where you would want his autograph?
Well, he's famous. He's on.
I like his autograph when on his credit card check when he pays for supper. Ooh, or something like that.
I'd like that.
So,
all right, next time we see Dave,
I'm gonna give you $1 to sign this.
That'd be awesome.
Here's your check.
I can hear my text on my phone lighting up already when he hears this podcast.
You will. We'll 100% gonna know. We're gonna have a text message from Dave.
I will know the hour, minute, and second that he hears this.
So looks like Red Lake has been, they're getting foot traffic and some wheelers up there. People are catching fish. They had that little deal where some folks kind of blew out to the ocean there, but they came back and rescued them all, and now they're out fishing again. So
it's not clear to me if it's locked up, though. I don't think it is.
It's not.
I don't know.
Boy.
I don't know that for sure. I see some pictures of the lake from the aerial pictures, but I can't totally tell what I'm looking at. So,
well, just get in your, charter a plane and go for a fly.
I don't think that's in the budget, Jay.
That's not an allied item.
No, that's not. That would blow our whole budget, you know.
So you,
that's beyond the credit card max. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond the what's this on your credit card?
So we had a fellow by name of Pat that reported your what is the name of that?
Onemia
near Mille Lacs and Shaka.
You just offended like. You just offended like 25 of our listeners, Jason.
Onemia? Well, I don't know. You don't grow up knowing how to pronounce that word.
I might have spelled it wrong, too.
Yeah, so, which might not have helped my situation. Shakopee Lake. I got that right.
Yep. Not Shakopee the city, but Shakopee the lake.
Are they by each other?
No. So I looked it up because I had never been to Shakopee Lake before. Shakopee Lake is, Onemia is like on the way to Mille Lacs. So it's between my house and Mille Lacs.
Okay.
Probably closer to Mille Lacs, but not on the lake.
Okay.
And so a little south of Mille Lacs.
So you were telling me that Outdoor News had a great article on how ice forms.
Yeah. Although we should probably tell them how much ice we had on Shakopee Lake first.
I thought we said 7 inches.
7 inches. All right. 7 inches. So
I thought we got moving on.
You're moving too quickly, Jason. I know we got to get this done. Yeah. So there was this awesome article in Outdoor News. His name is Steve McComas, and he is the lake detective in there. He has super great articles about lakes and really way in depth, like very scientific, not the kind of information you typically find on this show, but, you know, very scientific and in-depth information and how ice forms. And it was really interesting. He talked about first ice, which is like the skim ice that starts first, and how that's very different from the ice that forms after the skim ice. So they said it also like purifies the water the way the ice freezes at first because of the way that the molecules line up. The other thing it went in depth on was like if you're on a lake and it's the ice isn't thick enough for you to support your weight, how it, when you step in the middle, it like actually breaks like in a circular pattern.
Really?
So
I hope to, yeah, I hope so to like, never experience that.
Yeah, well, he had a scuba gear on when he was doing
okay.
it. Okay. So he was pretty safe. He kind of expected to go through. But he said it was about an inch of this skim ice, right? And he went through. But he had full snorkel gear, so he was actually looking for invasive species in this lake. If you get the outdoor news, go ahead and read it. If you don't, I would encourage you to get it. I personally don't get any benefit from mentioning this other than I really like it and it's great read. So and it comes out like every couple weeks. It's pretty often, so it's very timely on the seasons and stuff. I really like it. And they have a Minnesota version, but they have other states too, so it's specific to your area. It's really cool.
So this guy wrote a whole article on how ice forms, and in my opinion it forms because it gets below freezing.
Yes, that is the kind of information you get on the Hard Water Show from Jason. This is not that information.
If I was in school and needed to write a summary of this article, I would just say ice forms because it's below 32 degrees.
It does.
Right?
But you wouldn't know how the molecules line up.
They line up in an ice-like fashion. Huh. Okay. I guess that's all we get to know about why ice forms.
Really, it's been a warm week, right? When we were up last episode and we had that video and we went out on your lake. You know, it was cold.
Oh, it was
below zero.
It was snotsicle cold.
Really, this last week, it's been here. It's been in the 40s, and I don't think we hit 50, but it's been in the 40s for sure. I mean, I was out in the backyard playing catch with my daughter yesterday, so it was in the 40s. So we haven't gained any ice this week. We haven't. You know, there might be some lakes in northern Minnesota that had ice from that cold snap, but you know. Nothing was gained this week, so hopefully we see some more ice forming in the next week.
And that goes back to my highly scientific theory that it needs to be below 32 degrees to form ice.
It sounds like you're right. It hurts and pains me to say these words.
God, I love to hear that.
I guess I have to.
That's the best sound ever.
Yeah, well, so, don't get used to it.
I won't. I promise. So, questions from Facebook.
You know, we talk about how much we love the feedback on the show, and I really do. I mean, I love talking to people about ice fishing. You know, I was chatting with people today on Facebook, and I just love talking to people. So I put something out there and it says, hey, we're podcasting tonight. Does anybody have any questions that, you know, are just burning that you want to talk about? So a couple of people wrote in, so I thought we'd talk about those.
That sounds great. So you want to take the first one?
Noah asked, what kind of tools do you keep in your pocket when you fish? In my pocket, usually will have a tweezers, right? Like, and I've bought some specialized tools, but they have those like fingernail clippers is what I mean when I say tweezers, because I use it to cut the line quite a bit.
Okay.
And so that's something I keep in my pocket. Usually a forceps, or that's probably not the right word for them, but those skinny little plier things for getting hooks out of people's or fish's mouth. Not people. Why did I say people? Weird.
I hope that's not what we call in the biz is foreshadowing.
No, it is not foreshadowing. That is Jeff trying to explain what this metal tool is that looks like scissors but actually has little pincers on the end that you use to grab, but then you can grab onto your hook and pull it out of the fish's mouth. So I usually keep that in my pocket. My fishing license usually is in my pocket. my cell phone, which I can hopefully keep from going down the hole, but I like
50-50
to take
chance,
of my fish.
50-50 chance.
It's happened before, so it's yeah, so that's probably the big things I think when I think about what's in my pocket. I don't know, Jay, do you have anything other than that specifically you keep in your pocket?
Well, I mean, I always keep a little pocket knife, you know, to cut line and that kind of thing. One of those, like a forceps for taking hooks out a fish. Car keys.
Zipped pocket, right? Zipped.
In a zipped pocket. Car keys. A lighter, usually, for lighting the heater.
Oh, yeah.
So I usually have that in my pocket because you try to keep those warm because otherwise they don't. The flame gets real small and then you burn all the hair off your hand when you go to light your heater, your sunflower thing.
If I'm really smart, I bring one of those long lighters, but I'm not very smart very often.
Yeah, I always try to remember that, but half the time they break. Like they get busted up in my backpack or, so I just try to bring a regular lighter. Let's see.
One thing I don't keep in my pocket that I used to is I do use them occasionally, but those weights, you know, I used to have the clip-on weights and always use them.
Yeah.
I don't use those very much.
Well,
I use my flasher and my tungsten jig or whatever, and I drop it down the hole.
Yeah, I still keep those though in my bib coverall pockets. You know, I have those depth finder weights. Everybody calls them different things. I think that's what I call them is those depth finders. I have a tendency to keep, I guess, all that essential type stuff though more often in like my bag because otherwise it migrates into the house. And then it migrates into a drawer, and then when you're out there, you don't have it.
Yes, so that happens often.
Maybe that's the advice, is don't put anything in your pocket. Put it in your fishing stuff so it doesn't wander off.
I did have this advice from my dad, and this is from my younger years.
Ooh, dad advice.
But, you know, when I know, this is, I don't think I've ever talked about this before. This is the first dad advice.
I'm sitting down.
So, when I was younger, maybe like high school, and I was dating a girl.
Wow.
My dad would...
Whoa. This is getting real now. Okay.
My dad would tell me to keep my hands in my pockets.
Okay.
Because I suppose they weren't doing other things then.
Yeah, I imagine not. I didn't know where this was going to go.
Well, that's the beauty of this, right? Like, I mean, I couldn't even told you we were going to go here until we just got here. So
your dating advice for your son or daughter when they start dating is just keep your hands in your pockets?
That's what it is.
Huh.
Yep.
Huh. Okay. Well.
You didn't know you get dating advice on this show.
No, because we're basically, that's probably the extent of what we both know about dating. Yeah. The amount of years.
I've been married for 20 years.
Yeah, me, myself as well. So I didn't know how to date even back then. It just somehow I ended up got married one day.
Yeah, that happens. So.
Yeah. So tips and tactics for crappies, right? That was one of the questions. Was that the question? Boy, that's like a whole show.
I feel like
I think I'd maybe give the advice I would give on crappies is that they tend to feed up.
True.
So to remember that. So anytime you're targeting a particular fish, some fish, you know, just remember, I guess, where their eyeballs are. Are they a type of fish that likes to feed up or down? And then, you know, putting that bait above the mark on the finder instead of below it. You know, with crappies too, I guess the thing is I tend to, you know, if you're using a little jig and you're not getting any sort of action from them to go bigger, sometimes it seems like they don't want to bother with that little thing, but then you go to a little bit bigger jig and a rapla, you know, a jigging wrap or something like that. And they'll take that instead of like a little waxy or whatever. So I don't know. There's so many things with crappies.
I'm with you though. I think the two things I agree with you there is one, almost every fish, I always fish up versus down. I mean, there's some differences, like, you know, if they're bottom feeders and you kind of like to bang on the bottom, but generally I feel like their eyes are in the top of their head. So you want to put their lure in a place they can see it. Right. And I learned that a long time ago. But the suspended thing is a real thing with crappies too, right? You know, they don't always on the bottom. So if you're not catching them on the bottom, move it around. And you won't always see them on your graph, right? You don't necessarily see them suspended up there, but you might want to bring your jig up there and try it out.
Well, and the thing too is crappies have a tendency, at least some of them do, is they rise with the bait. So
yep.
They, you know, sunfish will take that thing and they'll run. They'll up and down kind of a deal. And crappies, I think, tend to sometimes, especially when they're biting light, you know, if you're using a bobber and that bobber all of a sudden lay flat on the water and because the fish took the hook and went upward. And so sometimes that's something to pay attention to with crappies.
Sure. I think for me, my two go-to lures, first is going to be a waxy with a tungsten jig. That's going to be my number one. Mm-hmm. My number two is going to be a small spoon. Typically, I don't know. You know, we have our preferences, but typically a frosty spoon that's white with a pink dot.
Sure.
Those are my two go-tos. And the jigs, I don't have a color as much. I vary that by lake. But honestly, the frosty spoon, the white one, always seems to be the one. Almost any lake, it's like a default. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But those are my two.
Okay. Very cool. And let's see. Line selection for panfish. Zach had asked this question.
And I feel like this is just kind of this is the answer, right?
Yeah, it probably is. 2-pound test, fluoro.
Yep. I mean, doesn't mean I run that all the time because, you know, we target multiple species and I might run something a little thicker if I'm not switching out rods all the time, but that's it.
And we had posted recently on our Facebook site a thing about knots, and there's a knot called a loop knot, and that was one that's really good for small jigs. And one of our listeners, Tyler Warner, had also chimed in on that and said, yeah, that's a good knot to get some more bites on small jigs. And I would agree with him. And this other person that put out this video we put on our site probably would agree too. Joel Nelson, outdoors.com, had a nice couple videos on how to tie those knots. So check that out on our Facebook site.
Yeah, and I think with those new knots, I always have to try them out at home before I get out in the ice. And, you know, to your point about my eyes don't work as well.
No.
One thing I did learn last time, though, is I had that heavy-duty floral on from when we were on Superior. You can't put a 16-ounce jig on with a heavy-duty floral. It just won't go through the eye.
No, yep.
No matter how many times you try, it's not going to go through.
Yeah, no, not at all. So we ready to move on to gear? Did you get that ice shack put together yet?
Yeah, it's in my basement. It's put together. Well, I put it together except for, you know, there's that plastic lip that holds on the fabric around the bottom.
Yeah.
I got like 3/4 of the way through it, but then I had to like go pick up my kid or something and got distracted and I didn't finish it. But it's going to get deployed next weekend. So
first impressions for the price seems okay?
I think for the price, it is totally awesome. So I needed something. It's a one-man. It's a Frabel Recon 100 flip. So it's basically a non-insulated, pretty shallow tub. And it comes with this like box. It's like a plastic box with a pad on top that you sit on.
Okay.
And I'm going to try it out with just the pad the first time. I could see myself. I've seen people put a seat on the box.
Sure.
Just to be a little more comfortable. But it weighs 44 pounds. It's super shallow. I have not tried to put it in my car yet, but I think it's going to fit my car.
Cool.
I can bring it. I'm hoping next weekend to make a day run either to Red Lake or possibly the crappie spot up north. And so I'm hoping I can just chuck it in my car. And, you know, for me, I can just fish out of it. And I think it's small enough. I won't need a big heater. And it weighs 44 pounds, so I can walk out with it.
Well, very cool. We're looking forward to hearing your first review on that bad boy.
And it was an awesome deal. And I'm assuming they'll have an awesome deal like this again. But it was like $150.
Yeah, I just looked at it. It's almost just under $300 right now on Amazon. So that price was a great price.
It was. And I don't know. Okay, this might be shopping advice and maybe too far. But there's this website called Camel. Have you Have you ever heard of this, Jay?
Just when you tell
me.
I'm not
making it up.
I know you're not.
So it's a real site. So you can take your URL from Amazon and paste it in there, and it'll tell you the history of prices.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're not getting paid for this, right? Like, this is just... So I always like to look at, like, it was $150. I'm like, is that just the normal price, or is it actually a deal? And I looked it up, and it was a deal. So, but it had been that price before, so it wasn't a one-time only deal. So keep an eye on that.
I use a similar thing on Amazon called Honey. Have you heard of this?
Okay. I've heard of it, but I've never used it.
Yeah, and it does the same thing, but it also, and there again, I'm not getting any kickback from the site. I put it on my computer. It probably sends my information to the Russians or something. I don't know. But
they're listening. That's okay. They're downloading our podcast.
They are.
That's just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what that does, it's like it's an extension add-on for your browser. And so okay. It lives on there. And it hasn't spammed me or nothing, so I would tell you that. But it tells you the price history on Amazon, but on other sites, it automatically checks all the coupon codes for you.
Whoa.
So that's kind of nice. Yeah, it'll search known coupon codes on the internet and plunk them in for you.
Yeah, I've done that where I just Google them and then
you
don't find
them.
Yeah,
this does it for you. And like I said, I'm assuming I have traded off my personal privacy for this thing, but you know, I at first I would say no, but then it saves you $30 on something. You're like, well, heck, for $30, I'll give you that information.
Do you think other people care, Jason?
I don't know why they would care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess if they want to know my internet history, it's pretty exciting, especially around Christmas time.
Hey, it's a family show.
It is, absolutely, absolutely. So is my internet history. So, yes, okay. Did you try out your action camera? We're moving on from this topic.
The action camera. So, I haven't tried it out yet. I figured out I bought it. So, this is called the Ape Man's A79 action camera, because we have to call everything some weird thing, right?
Well, like, it wouldn't be Chinese manufacturing.
Ape Man, you know, I don't know why it's called that. And who knows if I'm even saying that right, but I bought this at a lightning deal. I guess we're on deals today. But it was one of those things where I saw somebody, I'm like, they took an action camera, and I'm sure it was the GoPro, not the Ape Man version. But they put it on their Vexilar. I have a Hummingbird, but you know, they put it on there, and then they just set it to record, and when they caught fish, then they could have pictures of their fish being caught. And I thought it was really cool.
What'd you pay for this, Jeff?
It was $40.
Okay, yeah, that's what my app says, is $40. Yeah, okay, yeah. You did good.
$40.
I would say every other week it goes down to $40.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not, it seemed like a good deal. Hey, they got me, they bought it. But it was kind of one of those things where I'm like, ooh, this would be interesting. And you're like, oh, $40, okay. So I bought it, and then I realized that, well, I kind of need some accessories, right? So I had to buy an SD card, because mm-hmm. it doesn't come with one of those. And then the other thing I really needed was some way to put it on my flasher unit, right? So that's the other thing that I want to talk about. So I got this thing. It's called Smart Tree Adjustable Jaws Mount for the action camera.
Okay.
I don't know if it... So basically, it has a clamp on the end that's pretty heavy duty. And then you can put the camera on top of it. And it's got kind of that, like, I'm going to call it snake, but
that's
like a bendable metal.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bendable metal, and then you mount your camera on top, so you can clamp it on. My intention is to clamp it on the handle of my flasher, and then it's bendable, right? So you can bend it to whatever angle kind of shows where your rod is and you know, where you catch fish. So you can fish and not have to, like, deal with the camera thing, right? And it just records it, and then when you get home, you can edit and pull stuff off. So, I'm going to try it out this weekend, I hope, if I catch a fish. And then, you know, if we get some video, then we can put it out on the page, Facebook page.
I think that would be awesome.
And I love it because, you know, we're a low-budget show, so this stuff was pretty cheap as things go. And I can, you know, if it was a $300 camera, I'm like, boy, I could buy something else. I mean, that's a lot of money, but for $40, and you know, you can kind of, that's kind of worth $40,
yeah,
right?
We're not doing a lot of, like, trick bike jumps or skateboard things or surfing. So I would think this should work for you.
Speaking of that, I biffed it today when I was standing on the pile of ice next to
Did you do an old man fall?
Yeah, it hurts.
How's your hips? Your hips okay?
We're good. Yeah, we're good.
Wait till tomorrow when you try to get out of bed. Like, yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
So that's what I had. That's what I had for gear. I don't know. I need to go buy some new floral line, so I've been shopping for that. And stuff's a little expensive. It's like $8-$10 for some of it, and I got 5 or 6 rods, so I guess I'm gonna have to go spend some money on that. So
yeah, it's probably time.
It is. And I don't know, I'm wondering, I almost want to buy, they have summer floral and winter floral, right? I wonder if the winter floral is better.
Do you think it's really different, or if they're just trying to scam you?
I don't know, but how do you know?
Well, you got to buy some. Here's what you should do. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do this, because it's colder up there, so you'll get an answer quicker. That's why. Buy some summer stuff, buy some winter stuff, and then take a like a 6-inch piece of it, cut to it 6-inch pieces, and then record which one like is maybe it's stiffer or more limp, or if it's wiggly, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Record that, the line, and see what the deal is.
All right. Well, I'm going to go shopping this week and buy some.
You should do that. And then you can use
hopefully
your
eight-man
camera to record the differences.
Awesome. All right. Did you have any other gear stuff, Jay?
No, I don't think I do. No, I don't. I don't have anything else. Jeff, is it time for the legend?
It is time for the legend. So I am so excited that we have enough people sending us legends in. I mean, we still have probably some legends that we can tell, but we've been going with listener legends, and I really like reading them. So we have Jake from Colorado is who's going to be our legend this week.
And I'm glad Jake sent that in, because otherwise I'd have to tell you about working on my wife's race car all weekend, and boy, was that exciting.
Race car?
Her Prius. She drives it like a damn race car.
Is that the one we took to Superior
last
year?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Yep, spent all day yesterday working on it. So we're going to I don't want to talk about it. I'm still not, okay. You know, where you just waste a whole day doing stuff. And you're like, God, what'd you do? I worked on a Prius all weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had to bring my ice shack in for repairs and drive it back to Mille Lacs.
I would have rather done that. There's glory in that. There's no glory in wrenching on a Prius all weekend.
No, there is no glory on that. I will agree with you on that one.
All right, read it.
All right, back to Jake.
Hit it.
So, all right, so Jake, a buddy from work, and I decided to tackle a challenge, is what he said this week. They were going to go ice fishing, right? Except, you know, I mean, you know how this is, Jason, when you have buddies. He probably had a newer truck, or I'm not quite sure, but for whatever reason, his buddy insisted that they take his two-wheel drive truck instead of the four-wheel drive truck that he had in his driveway.
This makes sense to me. This makes sense.
Maybe it had pause attraction.
It probably did.
I really don't, you know, maybe that's, and that's as good as four-wheel drive, or some people say.
The two-wheel drive truck guys say that. Yeah, they do. They all do.
So there was some decent snows, and he's from Colorado. So they're talking upper elevations. I think we're talking mountains, you know, not like Minnesota or Iowa where it's just a tall hill and we call that a something tall.
A bluff.
So a bluff. There you go. His buddy Rob, they didn't really want to hike to the lake, right? I mean, you have a car or a truck. That's what it's for. Why would you hike? A Prius with snow tires. So, but there was like 4 inches of snow on the trail. I mean, so he's like, nah, no biggie. We'll take the trail. And, well, of course, having the two-wheel drive truck, they got stuck. And they had to hike. So, because they had the two-wheel drive truck, they hiked their stuff up to 0.4 miles. He said, so it's 20 minutes later because it's a half a mile, right? And they found 12 inches of ice, and they caught some tiger trout. Now, I have no clue what a tiger trout is, but...
I've never heard of it.
I would love to find out. So, just a quick... He said just a story to... On the struggle. We've experienced struggles like this before, right, Jay?
Oh boy. Yes, we have.
That was it. So he just said, you know, if you ever need information about fishing in Colorado, feel free to look him up. Next time, I think they'll take the four-wheel drive truck.
You know, I know people that have two-wheel drive trucks, and they're always insistent that you don't need a four-wheel drive. So I can about imagine these conversations. And yeah, it's... There's a reason that they make four-wheel drive trucks, because you need them.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, thank you to Jake for sending that in. And please, other people, keep the legends coming in, and you can make it on the show.
All right. Well, Jeff, I think it's probably that time. You're going fishing this weekend, aren't you?
I am going fishing this weekend.
I just have to go pheasant hunting.
I mean, that's not so bad.
No, it's not bad at all. I'm good.
So, all right.
Good luck. I'm looking forward to your pictures, Jeff. No pressure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Quite frankly, I don't see how there could not be pictures. I don't know anybody that could go to Red Lake and get skunked right now.
Yeah, well, thanks. You're setting me up.
It's going to be epic. I can't wait to hear about it.
It will.
Thanks, everybody.
Awesome.
Tight lines.
Thanks. Cheers.
Five. You've been listening to the Hard Water Fishing Show with Jeff and Jason.
Say goodbye.
One of the most unique podcasts on the planet, where we talk about tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. We'll be back soon.
Bye-bye.
Till then, signing off.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.